Okay, very good. Well, you sound better. You sound stronger having listened to what you did.
Okay, that's good. Okay, now, you got to get to the place where you get to the clouds. Clouds.
Yeah, okay, the clouds. Like, the clouds, are they inside me? Like, they're supposed to be, like, on the inside?
No, make a little note. No, make a little note. Acts 17, 10, and 11.
Acts 17, 10, and 11?
Acts.
17. Yeah, 10.
Acts 17, 10,
and you might better. And you might better look at Nahum 1, 2.
What's that one?
Nahum, N-A-H-U-M, chapter 1, verse 2.
Chapter 1, verse 2, Nahum 1, 2. Okay.
Nahum. You can do 1 through 4. Yeah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Those all apply.
Okay. Like in reference to the clouds?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when they rebuke the sea, because see, there's a hole in China that's emptying the sea.
Yeah, I heard about that.
But don't talk about it. Don't give it any power, but it's going to drain the sea. Because see, you got to have, in order for water to work, you got to have oxygen. And the earth is becoming replete with oxygen. It's running out when you used up.
Right.
And so you can't have water.
Would it be at all beneficial to, like, get an oxygen machine to filter out?
No. No. You don't want oxygen. You want to ascend. It's like the monkey pox. It'll be only like, before you know what hits you.
Hmm. So, like, what I keep hearing about ascension and getting rid of your oxygen intake, is that you're going to switch to, like, radiation? You're going to, like, eat? I mean, I'm...
No, the landscape's going to become radiation. It's already become that. Right now, today, there's your grandparents, the amount of radiation that you have already absorbed would kill your grandparents because they couldn't take it. But you built up a tolerance to it. See? So the radium level for you is about 10, well, used to 1,000 rads and you were dead. Now 2,000 rads is normal.
Is that, there's also, I heard route gems. Like, is that for measuring radiation? Like levels of radiation, route gems?
Yeah, rads. Yeah, we call them rads.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So, so I have to assist.
You have to take revelations. You have to take the revelations, and you have to learn how to take an interlinear direction for your definitions. It has to be interlinear. Jenny Bell can show you all about that, but you don't have a relationship with Jenny Bell, so you might be fucked. But you need to do an interlinear way of calculating the words in Revelation, because it's saying more than it's being said. Okay?
Yeah.
And so, and you're figuring that out a little bit, actually, we suppose, eh?
Yeah, it's the blood of the Lamb, and I know that's referenced to a certain activation in the DNA, and
Now you're talking about Exodus 24:16. You're talking about the glory of the Lord on Mount Sinai, and then the cloud covered for 6 days for the sixth seal, and then all of a sudden the cloud filled the tabernacle, that we're talking about here to calculate it. And so once it filled the tabernacle, then you can read all about that, where Bob intervened in Exodus 40, 34, and 35.
Right, yeah. And you have, like, I mean, I've been writing down the references that have been in the sessions.
All right, then write this down. 1 Kings 8, 10, and 11, and 2 Chronicles 5:13-14. Because you know Kings and Chronicles are the same. It's one is one version. It's do you know who Hannity and Combs is?
Yeah, those assholes. The clown show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first the Kings, the first, second Kings, that would be Hannity, Sean Hannity. And Chronicles, first, second Chronicles, that would be Combs. So they give two different parodies of the same conversation, sort of. Okay?
Okay.
Then you can start seeing the nuances of transfiguration. It's a case of transfiguration. So once you start seeing the manifestation of the Shekinah glory, once that allows and flows through the cloud is very important. Because if you ever expect to get another goddamn email, you better find out what the Shekinah glory of God is. That's what you better do. Matthew 17:5-6, Mark 9:7, and Luke 9:34-35. You'll figure it out or not, but at least you know where the full grace and truth of Bob is, John 1:14. Also notice the condition that Bob has to engage. He doesn't have to do anything, but he does just because he's got nothing else to do. 2 Peter 1:17. Then he's going to find out in Psalms 104:3 how God's chariot coming in the morning. Don't forget, Isaiah 14:13, it's the farthest side to the north. That's where you're going to see the brightness around the fire flashing continually in Ezekiel 1:4. Now, that's the metal side. Now, Bert, have you ever heard of Bert? Whatever you're doing.
Yeah, Bert. Sick, yeah.
Yeah, Bert's pretty cool. He's pretty cool. We fucks with him. We fucks with him. We fucks with Bert. You know why?
Because he's on it.
Yeah, and he got every one of these references and cross-references, and he'll say, in 2013, you said, blah, 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 blah. And he'll compare that out and go, wow. And then he'll bring that to light, meaning he'll connect the dots. Like the Etch-A-Sketch. Right. The Etch-A-Sketch is just one line, the Etch-A-Sketch.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Connecting the dots in one line. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel 1:37-28. Ain't going to be burnt up in a furnace.
Mm-hmm. So the cloud, again, is it anything like an aura? Comparable to an aura?
Better than that. It's Ezekiel 10:4.
Hey, Ion, did you say Bob at the beginning of these quotes was in Ezekiel 40:34-35?
Yes, of course.
That was Ezekiel.
Of course.
Well, it says...
And also Isaiah 19:1. But go ahead.
What was the second day?
Isaiah 19:1.
Mm-hmm. So it says in 34, its portico faced the outer court. Palm trees decorated the jambs on either side, and 8 steps led up to it. That's describing my place. Carolyn's place. You that, Carol?
Carolyn's place.
Yeah, Carolyn's place.
It's Carolyn's place. It's Carolyn's couch, and Carolyn's car, and Carolyn's dining room table. It's Carolyn's library with your dead bodies in it,
yeah.
Carolyn's solar panels, it's Carolyn's boiler, and it's Carolyn's recording devices, and Carolyn's eavesdropping conditions, and Carolyn's Roomba, Carolyn's, and her bread machine that used to be used as a microwave.
Right, so it says the east gate to the outer court. That's literally Bob. Let's see, what would we say it was 34, 35. So Ezekiel 40 starts off, Carolyn, in the 25th year of our exile.
Yep.
So that would be,
right.
We're at the 14th year today. We arrived in Maui 14 years ago yesterday, June 3rd.
That's when you were in the bad house. Now listen to this, how do you have a bad house in Maui Yeah. That's when they were in the bad house. Now they got moved up to the big house. And they liked it so good they bought a couple of them. It's pretty cool.
So listen, Kim. In the 25th year of our exile, at the beginning of the year, on the 10th of the month, in the 14th year, it's the 14th year, in the 14th year after the fall of the city, that's New York City, on that very day, the hand of the Lord was on me and took me there. In visions of God, he took me to the land of Israel and set me on a very high mountain, that's Haleakala, Carolyn, on whose south side were some buildings that looked like a city, that's the rest of the hotel row, okay?
Polo Beach.
Beach,
Polo
Beach. Hotels there. He took me there, and I saw a man whose appearance. Yeah, and I saw a man whose appearance was like bronze. He was, that means he was suntanned. He was standing in the gateway with a living cord. What? He was a Hawaiian?
He was Hawaiian. No, the Hawaiians always have that bronzy tone to their skin. Now,
yeah.
Bob and Carol live in Maui. They're whiter than the whitest piece of cotton you ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
You never seen nobody. They're the whitest people in the world. I mean, they're white. They're like ghostly white.
That's in the private session. He was standing in the gateway with a linen cord and a measuring rod in his hand. The man said to me, Son of man, he called me Jesus, Son of man, look carefully and listen closely and pay attention to everything I'm going to show you. For that is why you have been brought here. It's all true. Tell the people everything. Tell the people of Israel everything you see. And then it says the east gate to the outer court, Carolyn. Now that's the aliens come out of the east gate. And they come to my place.
The eastern gate. Yeah. And that's where God's chariot comes from. Remember with Vestal and Howard Goodman?
This guy's describing the contact, Carolyn. Then it says I saw a wall. There's my wall completely surrounding the temple area. The length of the measuring rod and the man's...
Here at the wall, Trinity Church. Here at the wall, Trinity Church. New York City, Battery Park.
The length of the measuring rod and the man's hand was 6 long cubits, each of which was a cubit and a handbreadth. He measured the wall. It was 1 measuring rod thick and 1 rod high. That's about what it is. Then he went to the east gate. He climbed its steps and measured the threshold of the gate. It was 1 rod deep. The alcoves for the guards were 1 rod long and 1 rod wide, and the projecting walls between the alcoves were 5 cubits thick. And the threshold of the gate next to the portico facing the temple was 1 rod deep. Are they talking about our house as a temple? Or the compound as a temple? Okay.
What's the difference?
And he measured...
You live in all of it, so... You go from one room, one stairs, one chair, one counter, you know, one door. Yeah, for you it's a little more limited, but for the rest of the staff, they can go all over the compound, Bob. It's okay.
Right. So he's describing all this measurement. We don't need to read all that in number 10. The faces of the projecting walls were decorated with palm trees. Then he goes into the outer court, more cubits and stuff. Then it says the north gate. Then he measured the north gate. There was a gate to the inner court facing the north gate. Now, what would that be? Since I don't know where north is, what would that be?
Okay. Then notice wherever you thought the east gate was, and wherever you thought the east gate was, and turn right.
Yeah.
That ought to be north, right?
There's a lot of description of palm trees, Carolyn. So it's like the Garden of Eden transplanted to here. And he keeps talking
about... It's like all the ones they cut down so they didn't even find your bitch ass.
Oh, yeah. They cut them down so they couldn't find me or could find me?
Could
find me. Yeah, that just happened recently. So it goes into a lot of measurements. We don't need to go into all that. The rooms for the priests.
Identifying with numbers is silly, isn't it, Bob?
Yeah, numbers don't work at all. they think I like this, Carol. They're laying out all the numbers because they think that's what I want to know. I'm a changed person.
They're teasing Bob about December the 5th, 1947. He's fucking what he's saying.
They're teasing me, Carol, with all these numbers.
Trying to get trying to get the last great erection of J.R. Bob Dobbs. That's right.
Yeah, like they don't say nothing. It just goes on and on and on, right up to number 48. The portico was 22
minutes
wide.
You mean 2 and 6 and
9
is
11
and
13
is 12 upon half and 9 and 3? You mean like that? Yeah, oh, yeah, we know, but signifies nothing. That's exactly right, Bob. You're on the money. 11, hooray.
And in the footnotes, they actually give the translations, the feet and meters, the size, but, yeah, that is a total satire of me. They give nothing but measurements. Didn't tell anything. Well, let's see these measurements.
And you thought you made up. We thought you made up Menippean satire, huh?
Yeah, this is Menippean satire of me. What do you think of that, Carolyn? Well, Beefheart said there are 40 people in the world, and 5 of them are hamburgers. And this is chapter 40,
nice.
Is where it begins.
Nice.
So this is the
with crinkle cut French fries. Mm-hmm.
See, so look at the satire, Carolyn. You go, son of man, Bob, look carefully and listen closely and pay attention to everything I'm going to show you. For that is why I've been brought here. Tell the people of Israel everything you see, and I never even bothered to tell you. I'm so uninterested in these numbers, but it's a satire. They think that I would just tell numbers.
Right. Wow. And make a chart. And therefore, follow the chart and read the letter to Prince Charles, and all will be recorded.
I'm sick of that. Okay, thank you very much. Whoever.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it was
heard
Nate.
You here first. Y'all hear you here first. The next time he does a 2.5-hour soliloquy of his letter to Prince Charles, remind him that he's sick of that shit.
Yeah, Nate from
who's
the school of Jerifiaga has learned the higher
who's
things.
Afraid, who's afraid of furry lit?
Yeah, that was first read to Jerifiaga in 91 or so. He was the first to hear about it.
We know.
Toronto.
We know.
Yeah. So, Nate, do you have anything else you need to know?
Mm-hmm. No, not right now, but thanks for blowing me away with all the references.
Good. Yeah, okay. Lots of work there.
Nice to get blowed off, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what
you
call it?
Are you still up in Colorado, or did you move?
Is that what you call a blow job, Bob?
Yep. That's a blow job.
Okay, so we gave him a blow job. Well, that's nice. Well, that's nice. Good for you.
Yeah. So, Nate, are you still in the Colorado area, or did you go back to L.A.?
No, I'm in Vermont. I'm out in the woods in Vermont.
What cult is that?
Well, I live in, like, a foam house. I'm basically homeless, but I have a job in a car. And I live in a foam house.
You have a job in a car?
No, I have a job in the car.
And a car. He has a car. And he lives in a foam house.
Oh, and a car.
Is it like jelly bean foam, or is it like styrofoam foam, or is it like shaving cream foam? What kind of foam house do you enjoy?
It's like stable foam, and I got like plaster on it.
So that's called stucco. You have a stucco house.
It's like
stucco.
It's like a cheap stucco.
That's what stucco. All stucco is cheap if it's not on wood lathing. So yeah, that's the way they do regular. That's the way we do stucco. They put these foam boards up and put sheetrock. I mean rock. Well, it's plaster over it. So yeah, okay, that's fun. Yeah, you'd follow Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders up there, he's a socialist with three houses. I've never seen a socialist with three multi-million-dollar houses. That's pretty cool. To be a rich socialist, that's pretty cool. So you could do that. He'd probably get you hooked up.
Yeah, there's lots of, not a lot of people can really give too many hookups here because most of their lives seem to be dissolving. So I'm just kind
of
coasting through.
Most of what's dissolving, Bob, can't hear.
Most of people's lives. And then, like I got networked with people who, like, help the homeless here. And they have, like, this center where, you know, they were supposed to help people and build houses and temporary houses and have, like, a place to be, you know, fed and, like, create communities, but basically there's a lot of drama and their lives are falling apart. So
yeah, the people are supposed to help the homeless are becoming homeless. Faster.
That's what's happening, yeah, basically. Yeah. I mean, slowly, but I think that's where it's going. Yeah.
Is that what you farmed out to? You were farmed out to that network?
I found a friend who was in the network. Mm. He brought me out here. So I'm more just, I think I'm just kind of passing through this situation.
Yeah.
And
That's what this whole world is. This world is not your home. That's exactly right. You're just passing through. You're a stranger on the bus trying to find your way back home. That's very adequate. And look at the property taxes you don't have to pay. That's pretty cool, eh?
Yeah. It's nice. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I might get an RV or something. We'll figure it out.
Get one of the, what is it they were trying about? Get one of the school buses that you can convert, and they run on cow farts. You get a cow fart in your tank, and you can drive on cow farts. It's a methane thing. It's really cool. It makes a good carbon footprint, but we like carbon. Carbon's all right. But get one of them school buses. They're not going to use them no more, so you can get it really cheap. And then you can, like, live in it and then drive it a little bit or don't drive it. You know, jack it up. You have a high rise. You know, it's all fun. Get you a school bus.
Yeah, do the fast food places still sell wouldn't they sell their fried batter stuff or something? Like, I don't know, you could kind of convert that into something that was a car could run on.
But I tell you, if you're going to stay there, it's cheaper. You can do what they call a container home. Look up, write down container home. For $750, you can buy four. For $750, you can buy a 40-foot Landsea container. All right, you got to be able to cut it because they're very, very, very stable and secure. And what you do is you get a couple of those, and you can stack them. You can cut the sides out or put two apart and put a roof between the two or have a courtyard between them. And you can cut holes in the side and put in windows so it's not like you're living in a box. I guess so said by somebody who lives in a foam house now wouldn't be too much of a problem. But you want to put some light in there or, like, open up one side to put it together to make it like a triple-wide position so you can have some girth. But I guess if you're going to live in a container home, you don't need 10,000 square feet. But we wouldn't suggest living in less than 10,000 square feet. For God's sake, where would you put the silver closet? For Pete's sake. I mean, you can't live like a dog. So, anyway, you can do that on the club. And still not landed on a piece of property that you have to call your own because you couldn't move that if you needed to. They're not on wheels, but you could jack them up and move them around.
Yeah. Well, I need enough room to get furniture and stuff from the Queen. You know.
Yeah. See, there's lots. They're planning. Everybody's in town for the platinum diamond jubilee thing. So they're thinking about hosting a tag sale at Buckingham Palace.
Hey, what was that? What was that TikTok where the whole thing lit up with a DNA light show up in Lyricus
Street? That's what they did. That's right. Now this goes back. Do you remember Queen Elizabeth I? Bob, he had a lot of. She was virginal until Bob got there. She wasn't a virgin after that anymore. But anyway, Bob was sort of snooking around with Elizabeth I. And do you know where the English Channel is? They had fire. They would build these bonfire wood, stack this wood, and when the prisoners were coming, I mean the invaders were coming, the marauders were coming to take over, they would light those fires, and then they'd see a light and go, oh, light the fire, oh, light the fire, oh, light the fire. So it would be lit up, so it would be like a way to alert the country that they were being invaded or that something very significant was occurring. That was a representation of that bonfire that Queen Elizabeth II pushed the button and had it run through the thing like if you were starting a fire, and then it got caught on fire, and that was done through the entire United Kingdom simultaneously as they used to light the fires to alert them that, those Spaniards are coming to invade it or whatever it was. But that's what that was a representation of.
Oh, I see. But she, like, touched a, it looked like she touched a globe, a little,
all blood.
Stop. It was a lapis lazuli orb. It was an orb.
What is that?
Orb. Orb represents the power or the wisdom within the kingdom. And so that was just a little machine thing. It was a remote control to set off the light show. But it also sent it around the United Kingdom so everybody could push their buttons at the same time and make the light come on in celebration or rest of they were thankful that Bob had been on the throne for 100 years.
Right. Was it actually warning people of something, or was it just sort of a reference to a tradition?
Well, you can't have a tradition that's never happened before. It's never happened before. You never had a 70-year long reigning monarchy ever in any country in the history of the world.
Warning the kingdom of the England or the world or the kingdom of something through doing that.
Yeah, the great. They were signifying the great restart.
Okay, yeah, everybody's dying and becoming robots.
Oh, whatever. That's what you're... From what we can see for the human race right now, we would prefer robots.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, Alexa will give you a blowjob and you don't have to talk back. It's good.
You know, I see the seduction and the convenience
allegory, seduction.
Allegory.
It might be sedition. It might be sedition in allegory, but we'll see. We'll have to check with the Golden State Warriors and see what they think about it.
I was wondering, are people at a certain point going to be galvanized to like militia into like these tunnels, these tunnels that are occupied by
Bible says there are. The Bible says it to death, you know, that the people are going to cry for the rocks to fall on them to hide them from the radiation that's coming from the Eastern Gate. It's what Bob just read.
You remember Bob. Hi, Bob.
People take ice picks and job their eyeballs out so they don't have to see the things that are going to befall them.
Yeah, I unread Revelation 21 at the beginning of this whole session with you. That's where it predicted.
Can I ask, even though I'm not there yet, like where you got the 23rd chapter from?
You've got it. I sent it to you. It's in the text.
No, he's asking where it came from.
It's been recorded before the Council of Nicaea, and they cut it out in the year 25. Now, Bob says 325, but Bob don't believe in numbers, and he don't follow numbers, and he thinks numbers are ridiculous. So if it's 25 or 325, it really don't make any difference to Bob. Anyway, they took it out. They said, nope. That's not going to go. They did the same thing with the Apocrypha. They did the same thing with the, what is it? Who is that whore? The Book of Deborah? That some Jesuit bitch that was trying to run
Book of Enoch.
Whorehouse. And the Book of Enochian Rule, the Book of Enoch. Yeah. That's right. That's right. And the Jacobees, Jacobeans or Jacob, or the Jackalope? I think it's a Jacob. We like Jacobees, because that's what they were doing. They were jacking off. So the Jacobees was in there in the Book of Deborah, the judge.
And the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Essene Gospel.
Dead Sea Scrolls, they came later. Dead Sea Scrolls came later that were written before. That's why that's funny. How something that was written before and get found later?
Yeah.
In the Bible, and it was what the Bible was supposed to be on. That's where the Bible come from. But they didn't find it less than 1,000 years after the Bible was done. Wrote on copper, for Pete's sake.
So the chapter 23, Ion found it. There's been fragments on the internet, but I put them out there, and then I gave us the whole thing on July 25th, 2010.
Because so you know, people have been asking me, you know, where my I sent it out to people who'd be interested in the Bible, and just a text of it, and they were been asking me what library I got it from, and. You know,
no, they got it from Bob.
Dennis,
got it from Bob.
Then they got it from the Bob from the archives and the Church of the Subgenius.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I now own.
Yeah. So it's good to answer as any, I guess.
There goes
for them.
There goes Bob. There Bob goes bragging again. Listen to Bob. He's a bit braggadocious. He's braggadocious. Yeah, here's what's so funny, y'all. He said he's run the goddamn church since its beginning, and now all of a sudden he just decided he owns it. I don't get it. You not own it then, or you've always owned it?
That's another timeline. Another timeline.
So we call that a spirograph moment. It was a spirograph moment.
That's coming up. The spirograph being the private session. By private session tonight, Nate, is 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yep.
Hey, you just had it sessions?
Yeah.
Yeah, only for me.
And it was 16.
Not for you.
It was 16. It was 16 of the happiest moments of his life. That's 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah. It's actually 2 hours and 43 minutes, 35 seconds. We'll round it off to 2 hours and 44 minutes, and then round that off to 2 hours and 45 minutes. Because I'm sure there'll be a problem with Soundflower in the middle there, so that'll take a minute or two. But, yes, chapter 23 comes from Bob. And they'll gnash their teeth, and they'll deny you, and you won't be on any dates anymore with them.
Oh, well, then.
Yeah, this is rude.
I've been thinking about the double-edged sword a lot, the duality.
Yeah,
I guess
a lot of that going around.
Yes, I get caught up in that. Yeah. But,
well, you just have to go to the four modes. Go to the tetrad. That'll get you out of the dialectic.
Yeah, your tetrad, like your chart.
And you'll have some homosexual experience with indicties. Better watch the indicties. It'll bite you in the butt.
But, yeah, basically you get out of this double-edged dialectic by going to the tetrad, McLuhan's tetrad.
Right, yeah. Obsolesces, enhances, retrieves, and reverses.
It forgets, and then denies. The denial is the best part.
That's the heck of
that. That's the first stop of recovery is when you can deny it.
Yeah. You go through the pentad, that's where the Android meme runs your world, and then you flip into the hexad, which is struggle and gnashing of teeth as the tech body bugs you.
Yeah. Yeah, and the hexad, that's when you decide if you're pitching or catching.
Yeah. You pray to get to the seventh, the septad.
Yeah. That's when you can get completion.
Yeah, and not many people get to the octad.
Depends if they're ambidextrous or not.
Yeah, that's where you get to dine with Bob. You get to the octad.
Oh.
You get to eat some account pate.
Nut pate. Yeah. And then you can look in the meat box at the raw chicken livers. We don't eat them anymore, but we have raw chicken livers. We don't eat them,
pretty
but
good
we have them.
We get pretty good
pizza on Saturday.
All of it's waiting. If you just keep plugging away there, Nate.
Yeah.
Because always remember, if at first you don't succeed, just keep on sucking until you do succeed.
Yep.
That's a wonderful message. Yeah, that's a good pickup artistry there.
Yeah.
Oh,
he used to use that. He used to need that.
Did you build your own foam house, or did you take over someone else's leasehold?
that. And I didn't do much on it except put the plaster up and the rug and just, you know, just, yeah, held stuff for people, like, and it helped move shit. And, yeah, like, yeah.
That's like, interesting. Yeah. Hey, we can, hey, you got room, you got, wait, maybe, hey, you got some plans? Put some plans out there. We can fix this up. We can, there's other people that might want to have a foam house, too. It'd be nice. Bob, you could sell plans to foam houses.
No. I'm not a businessman anymore.
Oh.
A prophet. Oh. I'm a prophet.
A prophet. No, no, no. That's what he did his business for profit. He did his business for profit. Bob says, why would you open a business that's non-profit? He said, that doesn't sound very profitable. Don't be, I'm going to be a non-profit prophet. Bob's a non-profit prophet. This is great. It's great. Looking for deduction. A non-profit deduction.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Nate.
Right, thank you.
The tailgate.
Congratulations. Congratulations on your new digs. And you got homework to do, so now you live in a foam house. You have time to do it.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm on it.
Okay, thanks, Nate.
That's nice.
Okay, so...
You know, it's odd. It's odd talking to sober people, Bob. Everybody tonight has been practically sober.
Yeah. Well, let's see if Alyssa's sober. She's had a hard week.
Oh, you're going to test...
You're on,
you're
Alyssa.
Test the waters. You're going to test the waters now.
Yeah.
I'm on.
Yeah.
Yeah. How lucid are we tonight, darling?
I'm feeling pretty lucid. I just was kind of having a little shut-eye.
Oh, fuck, Bob. She's already slurred her words. Here we go. Down the road to perdition. Okay, it was fun.
Down to chapter 23.
What you got? Now we got it going. What you want to talk about, sugar?
I didn't slur, did I? I got a little sass in the mouth from being down in the Carolinas. So maybe that's what it was.
It's pronounced Kalina.
Well,
you sound like
right.
Kalina. You got to go. You got to get you some bourbon or something to pick you up because you got the slack jaw. You slack jawed.
Okay, I got a couple questions on the
Manor. That giggle. There's that giggle we've grown to love.
All right, so there are these monoliths, and I have a couple questions on the monolith that Bob's going to be broadcasting from.
Okay.
Will I listen to Bob broadcast from the monolith on a personal computer or cell phone or a short?
Nope.
So how will people listen to Bob broadcast?
The same way they heard about the news 78 years ago Monday in the D-Day invasion. Same way.
Mm-hmm. Some radio raves?
There wasn't a lot of radio 78 years ago. See, we know. That's why we're standing. You're stoned. Lay that crack pipe down, honey. Get you some meth. Get you some meth. It'll pick you up. Damn.
I thought we could have just a relaxing conversation, but I have to stand up. Okay, waking up.
No, you can't. But then your first question is, how are we going to tune into the Bobville? The Bobville. Instead of Vaudeville,
yeah, from
Bobville.
The monolith.
How are we going to tune into... How are we going to tune in a Bobville? Okay. All right. Do you remember Nikola Tesla? Not Tesla Motors or Nikola Tesla.
Right.
Okay. He said that all this is a frequency. And so all you have to have is a pitch position that can pick up on a frequency. All right?
Cool.
And so your body gives off frequency, but it also receives frequency. They call it extrasensory. We call it normal sensory perception. But some people call it extrasensory perception. So that you can have communication with dead people or like Bob talks to psychics of psychics of psychics. There's no real psychics anymore. And he'll find somebody who knew Sylvia Brown, who knew Sylvia Brown's son, and they have conversation and they can figure out what Sylvia Brown was trying to say that a dead person told Sylvia Brown. right? And then they had to go through Montel Williams to work out all those details, you see. So that's all that the best is to hope for in those days. And then once this all gets down to nothing, you free up the ability, or like we call it static. If you turn it all off, for example, you've never seen the brightest stars. Well, you have, but you've never seen the brightest stars until you're in a place that's void of light. You know, when you're out in the wilderness and there was no lights. Where was that? Over in Viet Cong, when they, at nighttime, they turned off the country. The stars are the brightest things in the whole wide world. It was so bright. It was unbelievable bright because there was no other light. All right, so the same thing here is when you're devoid of this position, what happens then is it becomes very, very, very resonant or obvious. And so the monolith give off a specific tied frequency. Now, some people are going to need help tuning their frequency, but you can do that with a tuning fork. You don't have to have an Alexa, right?
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Good.
Thank you. Yeah.
Exactly. Now go back to sleep.
Okay, so were these monoliths placed, are they placed there by the B2 aliens? Or did...
Yes? No, Bob's financing this. Bob's financing this, and he needed some write-offs.
So Bob financed them, but the B2 aliens put them there. Put them around the...
But it's Bob's. This is Bob's. This is, if the aliens don't do anything else, it's Bob's. He's got this. The only one crying won't connect, so he don't have to do nothing. He can just talk to Carolyn. Well, he hadn't really had a good luck with that so far, but he could talk to Carolyn. Yeah, he could.
Are there going to be monoliths below the 33rd parallel?
Nope. Why? Why?
Right.
You mean the cans of spam? The cans of spam are going to listen to Bob? Why would they hear?
Right. Okay. Cool. I heard on the private session that the Earth ship has the pyramids in Giza as the bow and then the Mexican pyramids as the stern. Are the monoliths part of the Earth ship in the same, in like a similar way that those structures are?
Kinda. You know what? You know what SPAM is an acronym for?
No, but isn't it made in Minnesota? Yeah.
Well, it won't be then. It won't be made there then.
No, right. No, not the not
Southern. It's SPAM. Southern. It's Southern. Southern people as meat.
Okay. Yeah.
Everybody
you
south
got me
of
there.
The 33rd parallel of the Yarmulke continent, they're not going to have any use for them, and so the aliens going to have something to snack on, so they become people jerky. People jerky.
Wow.
And if Carol's not using her dehydrators, maybe they can borrow them. They can dehydrate them and make them where they last a long time. It's going to be a long trip there, so they need something to snack on.
So the tuning fork, the RNA drops are...
Just say aspect. Just say aspect, because it's not just like that. You're going to confuse people, and then people are going to go run out.
Tuning fork.
And then Pentawan will start trying to mine ore to see if he can build his own tuning fork like he made his own leather shoe. He's doing great with his leather shoe. He's got one down. He's got one to go. So he hops when he goes on a walk these days, but he'll be trying to mine enough ore to create a tuning fork. So say an aspect of a tuning fork, aspect of a tuning fork. That's easier to wrap yourself around.
Okay. So the RNA drops are a tuning fork that tunes us. Are there other things that have this tuning fork aspect as it relates to the monoliths and the frequencies?
Well, it's probably everything. Although nobody's going to be reading the Washington Compost, so I guess they won't need it for that.
So everything is a tuning fork aspect related to Bob broadcasting on the monolith, including the RNA drop.
And he's probably going to have Maria Bartiromo. He kind of likes her. Just as little, she'll do little snippets just to give somebody a nice perspective. Perspective, is that the right word? Perspective? Yeah, a nice perspective. Did you get all the Bible quotes earlier that we did? They were pretty prolific.
Man, I got the ones from What Youth. I got to go back and write
those. Those have all changed. Those have all changed. That was a week ago. God, the whole world's changed.
Those were awesome about the transmigration of souls from the Guff. I got all those written down.
Glad you see what Bertrand does tonight. This has been good so far until we got to your part. It was really great until we got to this part. But Bert's going to pull it all back together and make it all nice because he's got all kinds of insights. It's fun.
Okay, so wait, you're saying my part's not been good?
It's good. It's all right. It's, you know, like a bedtime story.
Right. The bedtime. Bob will be broadcasting bedtime stories on the monolith.
Bedtime with Alyssa. Bedtime with Alyssa. What was his name? Ronald Reagan meal. Bedtime for Bonzo. Bedtime for Bonzo. Yeah, with his Ronald Reagan.
Bedtime for Bonzo. Okay, I got one more. Yeah, I was.
That was when. That's when he was married to Jane Wyatt. That's when he was married to Jane Wyatt, not Jane Wyman. No, it was Jane Wyman, not Jane Wyatt. Which one was it, Bob? Come on, straighten this out. We can't go like this. We're slacking. Ronald Reagan was married to Jane Wyman, not Jane Wyatt. Jane Wyman was the one on Falcon Crest. Is that right?
Yeah. That's it. You got it.
Fuck. We were a little nervous there because we can't put. We're not allowed to have false news on the monolith.
Right. Well, yeah. Thank you.
There's only going to be one truth on the monolith, and that's Bob's truth. Whatever Bob says today, that's the truth. That's a fact with his hand up.
Yeah, thank you for the scripture references on. I do like pulling those all together, so that'll be good.
Yeah, we're gonna get some safety pin earrings, for the boys, so they can get a safety pin on their ear like Johnny Depp. That'd be cute too.
Okay, I just have one last one. So I heard tonight you were talking about some of the aliens are tagging along on the way to Andromeda, like barnacles on a ship. And then there's aliens, I've heard, that are guiding and directing. So which aliens are the barnacles and which ones are guiding and directing?
You won't be able to tell the difference. It don't matter.
Okay. I thought it was pretty interesting that Bob was saying that some of the aliens are going to be the ones guiding the ship, like directing the airship. Okay,
Brandon, get that fucking cat. Get that fucking cat out of that chair. What the hell's wrong with you? Like you're going to run something with Lakotas with damn cats in the chair. Get that damn cat out of that chair.
Lisa Brandon, and
next thing you'll have them in the Christy, house.
We next have thing an explanation of the cat.
You'll have them. You have the damn cats in the house next thing you do. Shit.
Are you talking about Christy and Lisa?
Yes. Yeah, we talked about the cat that pressed his face up against their patio window the other day and looking for me. He pushed his face right into the window, trying to peer in. And we discussed that in a private session.
Uh-oh. Okay. No, actually what it was, the pussy was trying to look for some new sex guidance.
Yep. She was watching the lesbians, see what they had going for them.
See what they had to say.
Yeah.
Well, this is not important. What's important is the defamation lawsuit between Johnny Depp and Miss Amber.
That is not important.
It's been a place. Hey, the motherfucker couldn't get a movie, and he got one for free. It costs nothing. Millions of people. Everybody's talking about his pee-pee again. They're talking about his pee-pee. And then they're trying to figure out how this poor rich man now can't afford $50,000 bottles of wine. Who the fuck sits around and drinks a 50? Get you some Everclear. It's cheaper. Or what is that Jack drink? 19 Crimes. Get you some 19 Crimes. You can buy that by the box. It's good. It won't hurt you. Won't run. Yeah. You won't hurt your bank account.
All, like, my work colleagues, they're all into it, and they've been following it, and it's just
funny.
Right, during the Durham trial, you know, just...
Oh, yeah. And see, here's what's so hysterical. Here's what's so hysterical. These poor little rich people. I'm going to sell you for $50 million with an M. And, fuck you. I say what I say, and I'm going to say what I say. And I shit in your bed, and I'm going to sue you for $100 million. $100 million. Okay, so now they get pennies. I mean, shit, a Happy Meal is about $12 million now. So he wins $15 million, and one of his associates, so we don't know who that is, has to pay her $2 million or something. And now she's going to appeal. You know why she's going to appeal? Now, this has been a week trial. Hundreds of thousands of dollars a day in legal expenses and fees, teams of lawyers, all this stuff going on. And now she can't afford to pay the ransom. She can't afford the lawsuit. She can't pay him his $15 million.
But she's going to have an appeal.
How the hell? Yeah. Because she can't afford the lawsuit. Well, hell, that's just one weekend's drinking. That's one weekend drinking. You can pay that bill. No problem. But now all of a sudden, see, it ain't like they present it. The only reason they're millionaires is because they say they're millionaires. See the difference?
Mm-hmm. What about
they all got money, but they got no cash. They all got money, but they got no cash. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. What about Elon Musk funding for part of the trial? Is that true?
What is there to fund?
Is he paying for, not fund, but is he paying for trial fees? For lawyer fees and stuff?
Her fees? No. He's against her. He's not for her.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't care.
The only thing Elon Musk is famous for is he finally gave a price for how much free speech costs. And now they're negotiating. And now they're negotiating.
All right, well, thanks.
So that's
pretty cool.
So he bought into a company, paid a lot of money to get into a company and then ruin it. Well, it was already ruined. I gave you that. But then he invested a whole lot of money into it to really ruin it. Like, I'm going to move all my money into your house and then I'm going to burn it down, goddammit, because I can't. It ain't my money. I borrowed it from the United States government. It's a bond referendum to build electric cars. And I ain't using all the money. So I'm going to take the rest of it and burn it up on Twitter.
So, Iron, did he plan to really go through with it, or did he know that this would just expose it all?
What's the difference? The conversation is about that he learned his narcissism from Bob. If you're going to be a good narcissist, you got to study Bob long and hard. Because every conversation has to begin with, include, or end with Bob, or it's not going to last more than a minute. So he was losing flavor. His SpaceX, everything should be SpaceX, and now they got Virgin Atlantic and that stupid Bezos trying to put suppositories up, the William Shatner, you know, the original Star Trek. And that's all they're talking about is that bullshit. So he wanted to get us to flash. So this is a way that he gets back into the whole conversation. And so now he has his own platform to get high and twit all kind of crazy stuff. And make fun of people that jump on him because he's smart or good or smarter than they are. And then he turns around and says, well, you know what? You're so goddamn smart. Why don't you buy Twitter? And then he could say, oh, why are you so smart? Why can't you take over Twitter and not have to pay for it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, that's something Bob would do. He'd take over it without having to pay for it. They'd just leave it to him. He'd be the rich uncle version and then die and give it to him. I bequeath you Twitter. You could have Twitter.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, he definitely played it new school, played it Bob style.
Yeah, see, so here's what this conversation is. Look how we've changed the subject and the thing that's important, which is the monolith. And now we're talking about the orgasms of Amber Heard. You heard?
I didn't want to talk about the trial.
I know, but we deflected. We deflected in such a way because you don't want to. You want to defer. You don't want to talk about the important thing, which is the monolith. No. See, so all I did was flip that into a new funner, because this monad condition where all is one, where one is one and all is one and two is one and two by means is four and eight and six and nine is two and three, all that kind of foolishness kind of thing. Or the oneness, the one of the oneness. So now when anybody makes a mistake, it's your mistake. And when anybody wins, you won. Is that how the oneness works?
What is the oneness that you're referring to?
Oh, that we're all connected interdimensionally. Or how Bob can do things in the past that are in the future. And then they find out what happens when an opossum walks into a bar. And everybody gets to experience the same possum.
I was asking about monoliths. You gave an answer about it, and then you switched it to the
possum.
Safety pin in the ear.
The possums.
And the trial.
The possums.
And... then we went on to Elon Musk. Okay. And then you brought, So why are you saying I don't want to talk about the monolith?
No, you do want to talk about it, but we diverted it so we would not have to talk about it.
Why did you do that?
We're still not talking about it. Because now we're talking about what we didn't talk about.
So that's why are you diverting?
We don't want there's no reason for everybody else who actually has the misfortune to listen to this ridiculous stuff to know all the details about how Bob's communication platform and situation can be set up. Otherwise, Elon Musk is going to want to buy the monolith. He'll take the only thing left of Jack Dorsey, which is three toenails and a penis, and try to buy the monolith and get Jack Dorsey involved in this shit.
I copy. See? Copy that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
The same way that they're going to talk with pets now. Now pets are going to be able to talk because they're beasts. So they're going to be able to speak. They'll be able to talk, communicate back and forth. Some of them are real smart. They have a little thing where they have a little thing like the dog will come over and says, I say, go out. And you go hit the button. They'll say, out. And then they'll say, do you want something? Or they say, you can't go outside because it's raining. And he'll go over and hit the thing and says, bitch. And he hits the little sign and says, bitch. And
see, if I have any
good
anything over here.
And we also talked about the benefits of meth over crack cocaine. We talked about that.
Right.
As far as lucid conversation, yes.
Yeah.